We've been talking this morning about mental health. The recent sudden deaths of four young doctors in Melbourne has thrown the spotlight back on the well-being of doctors and the working challenges that they confront. In 2013, a Beyond Blue survey of doctors found that one in 10 had thought about suicide in the previous 10 months. It was one in five for medical students. Doctors are notoriously reluctant to seek help for themselves. Now it's claimed there's another barrier, mandatory reporting of a health impairment. This report from Anne Arnold.
Unfortunately, the first registrar I heard about I did work with, and that was very devastating for me to hear, even though I haven't seen him for a long time. I remember him from the beginning of his training, and I couldn't help but feel absolute sorrow for him, for the people that worked with him, obviously for his family.
Psychiatrist Dr. Helen Schultz coaches and mentors registrars. Three of the doctors who died were psychiatry registrars or trainees, all in different public hospitals. The fourth was an intern, so just out of medical school. It's not publicly known how or why these doctors died. The deaths are to be investigated in the Victorian Coroner's Court. But grieving colleagues and peers say workplace pressures can't be ignored, and there are many.
The times when I was most stressed and most upset was when I was asked to work outside of my role, and that happened quite a bit with regards to supervision.
Helen Schultz graduated from registrar status 5 years ago.
And the responses really were that, you know, you've got people on the phone to help you if you're out of your depth. So the thing that really annoyed me and got me the most upset was that somehow putting your hand up and saying, I don't feel comfortable doing this, this feels wrong to me, I feel really vulnerable, was very quickly turned to, you have a problem with competency. And I think that's what a lot of us registrars struggle with. It's like, well, just put your hand up if you need help. We're on the other end of the phone. But junior doctors in particular are very nervous about calling senior doctors.
Long before these recent Melbourne deaths, some medical leaders were urging their peers of all ages to acknowledge mental health risks and to seek help early. But it's a massive cultural shift.
It's one of the more distressing elements of being part of a professional group that is always seen to be, or expected to be, robust, together, making decisions on the run, critical issues being addressed in a timely manner and acted on. And seen to be vulnerable is not part of the deal, but we all are.
Ian McPhee is an anaesthetist and a rarity because he's been open with his colleagues about his history of depression. All doctors these days are urged to have their own GP, but that doesn't sit easily with some.
Most doctors are used to being in control, being assertive, making the diagnosis. So you then have to put yourself into a more submissive position and put your trust in another person. And I think that proves quite difficult.
Dr. Genevieve Golding, an obstetric anaesthetist in Brisbane, is president of the Australian and New Zealand College of Anaesthetists. Many doctors are now saying there's another reason not to tell anyone how they're feeling. Mandatory reporting requires doctors, including those who treat other doctors, to report a colleague's perceived impairment to the Medical Board of Australia. Western Australia exempts treating doctors from reporting, and the WA Minister for Health, Kim Hames, has told Background Briefing that doctors are travelling from other states to his state to get treatment.
They clearly do that because they're scared of being reported. So come here for that anonymity and for getting treatment early when they think they might have a condition. Sometimes you don't even know how bad you are and what the problem is, and it takes others to recognise it. And it's really important for people who have a mental illness particularly to seek early treatment and management.
Do you know how frequently doctors are coming from other states for treatment in WA?
No, we don't, and it's all anecdotal because doctors aren't allowed to talk about their patients. But we do have doctors saying to bodies like the AMA that they have had doctors coming across for treatment without being more specific than that.
The National Mandatory Reporting Law was not intended to apply to doctors simply seeking treatment. It's only meant to apply when a health problem presents a clear risk to the public. But critics say the law is unclear. And that's why there's a prevailing fear of it. A review of mandatory reporting and the other national regulations brought in 4 years ago has just been completed. It's not been made public. It'll be tabled at the COAG Health Council meeting in April. But there are many in the medical world hoping that the rest of the country will revert to the West Australian model.
If you're not well, you can't possibly be delivering optimal care.
Dr. Genevieve Golding co-founded a welfare committee for anaesthetists.
They have a public duty to be as well as they possibly can, and that is physically as well as mentally and emotionally resilient so that they can deal with the stresses of their working life and give optimally to patients so that they don't harm patients. So it's turning it around from not what's best for, well, it is what's best for you, but it's in the long term, it's what's best for patients.
That's Dr. Genevieve Golding ending that report from Anne Arnold, and you can hear more, including some senior doctors giving accounts of their own struggles in Sunday's background briefing after the 8 o'clock news as part of the Splendiferous Sunday Extra.